No, when I was studying and looking over what the Lord had given me, I found the Lord was feeding me. So we get to eat a little bit before you guys do. And I trust the Lord will feed each one, because it's not me. It would have to be him. Let's go to the thought here is a life ordered by the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 37 and 23. We have quite a few scriptures, so I want to move right into it.
Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
You see, when we have our steps ordered by the Lord, then the Lord gets delight in us, and we are a blessing to others, and we receive a blessing ourselves. So we want to think and read and understand how important it is that our steps are ordered by the Lord. We think of the scripture that tells us about Enoch. I think it's Genesis 5, 18 to 24. That scripture tells us that Enoch walked with God. When we think of our steps being ordered by the Lord, that means that He is leading us. He's directing our lives. And there is going to be some results if we allow the Lord. He will not force himself on us. He will tell us the right way to go. And he will order ourselves if we allow him. But he's not going to push us. Like the devil's, he just forces himself on. But the Lord doesn't do that. He tells us, he gently leads us, he gives us the right way, and we have the responsibility to walk in that way. And when we do, we're going to find spiritual success. If we walk in our own ways, if we do our own thing, we're not going to be successful spiritually. We're going to fail somewhere. But if we go God's way, and if we allow him to order our steps, we are going to be blessed. In the end, we'll have eternal life, but we'll also be a blessing and a help to someone else. Do you remember that song they just sang about, "May all who come behind us find us faithful"? If we have so lived and allowed the Lord to order our steps, there's someone coming behind us that's going to be blessed by it. Today, we have many examples in the Word of God, and not just in the Word of God. We know people personally that we have seen that allowed the Lord to order their steps. Those people have been made an impact on us. They left a legacy. I talk about my mother a lot. She left a legacy for me to follow. And I remember so plainly how I just wanted to walk behind her. She'll go to see the sick. I remember there was a sister that lived some blocks over from her, and she would go visit the sick, and I would go with her. And it seemed like she would be walking, and I wanted to walk just footy footy in her path. But she set that example before me. A lot of what I know and understand today is because of her. She left that legacy. She was faithful until the end. I didn't have a sad story to say about her, because she showed the path and did it. Now it's our turn. Today is our day. And we need to let the Lord order our life and be a legacy for someone else. be an example for someone else, how to live for God. Let's read now Genesis 5, 18 to 24.
And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Look at this. He walked so close to God, he didn't even have to see death. God just took him. We can do that. I'm not saying that we won't see death, but I'm saying we can walk so close to God. The Lord says, go here, and we go here. He say, don't go here, and we don't go here. This is the way we walk with God. We look into his word. He tells us in his word what to do and what not to do. So if his word says, don't do, thou shalt not, we're not doing it. If it says do, then we do it. So this is how we walk with God. This is how he orders our steps, and we follow and we walk with him just like Enoch did. He set that pattern. He set an example of walking with God until he was not. Read Hebrews 11 and 5.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Was not found because God had translated him, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
See that? He walked with God and he pleased God. Just Amen. Like in, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he is pleased. I don't know the exact word. But it pleases God. When God orders our steps and we follow him, it pleases him. It's very important that we follow the Lord, that we allow him to order our steps. For one thing, the Lord knows the best way. We don't. We might think we do. But God knows what way. That song says God's way is best. We sung that last week. God knows the best way. So if we let him order our steps, we will go in the best path. Go to Psalms 119 and 133.
Psalms 119 and 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me.
That's it right there. Order my steps in thy word. When God orders our steps, it will not go contrary to his word. It's going to match up with what the word says. So if you think the Lord is leading you, you can look at the word of God and see if it fits with the word. If it doesn't fit, that's not the Lord leading you. He said, order my steps in thy word. They go hand in hand. So we want the Lord to order our steps, but our steps must match up with the word of God. And so we want to be encouraged to follow the Lord. And as he leads, let's follow. Psalms 27 and 11.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a right path because of mine enemy.
See what he said? Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemy. When the Lord leads, he's ordering our steps, he's ordering our lives, but we need to ask him. Sometimes we might come to something, we're not sure exactly what to do. So we can ask him to teach us his way. Give me understanding, Lord. Lead me in the right path. It may look like this is the path, or this may look it, but Lord, will you teach me? Will you lead me? Do you know God will be faithful? He's not going to let you just need to know how to go, which way to go, and not know. He made all these great sacrifices. Like we were talking in the Sunday school about Jesus coming to the earth. He made the ultimate sacrifice for our salvation. And he is willing and ready and wants to lead us. But that's we right. need to be willing to follow. Usually the problem is in us, not in him. Right. He's going to make it plain. He'll tell you plain. Sometimes people don't want to hear it. Sometimes they want to do something else. But he'll tell you plain. What is the right way? He's not an author of confusion. He's not going to make you confused. He's going to give you a clear understanding of his way. What is right and what is wrong. And we, if we listen and if we follow him, then we will be according to the scripture, but we'll be able to go to heaven. We'll be blessed. We'll have spiritual success. You know, the reason some people go so far and they'll live for the Lord a while, and then you look up, they're gone another way. They're not letting the Lord lead them. They right. decided to go their own way. You say go right, and the Lord say go right, and they want to go left. But we can let the Lord lead us, and we will be a help. We want to help ourselves. We want to get to heaven. But we want to be able to help someone else get to heaven too. Someone else is looking at us. If we go left when the scripture says go right, somebody is watching that. And that might lead somebody else the wrong way. So we want to follow the Lord. We want to be a light in this world. We want to help ourselves and we want to help others. A life that's ordered by the Lord is a blessing. It's a blessing for us and it's a blessing for others. Matthew 5:13-16.
Matthew 5:13. Mm-hmm. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. How far do you want to go?
To 16.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
So when we follow the Lord and when we let him lead us and when we let him order our life, our life is a light. A light to this dark world. If we can't do much, we can be a light to other people. This world is in darkness. Things are upside down. It looks like eternity is looming in sight. It doesn't look like we have much time. But we need to take this little time that we have and do all we can, following the Lord, that we can be a light to somebody else. It says if the salt has lost its savor, where could it be salted, right? If we don't have any salt, we can't be a help to anybody. If we don't have any light, we can't be a help to anybody. But if we live right and please God, we can be a light to other people that are in darkness. There are a lot of people that's hurting today. A lot of people that doesn't seem to have much hope. Can you imagine what some of these people are feeling when they're facing being deported? Don't you know a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness comes upon people when things like that happen? But we as his people, when we live for God, We can be a light to them. We can point them to Christ. We can say there's hope in Christ. Whatever happens to you, people are losing their homes from fire and the hurricanes and the airplanes that crashed the other day. It caused some people to their houses to catch a fire, buildings and so forth. And you could have a tendency to feel like there's no hope. Everything is crumbling down around you. Those people in California that lost homes, Sister Connie talks about it in Guthrie, how to lose a home, you lose memories, you got pictures, you got things that maybe things that so-and-so gave to your mom, your grandmother and stuff, and you lose all that. A feeling of hopelessness can come over you when you see all of that. But there is hope in Christ. If we lose everything, Job, even when he lost all of what he had, he still was able to say, blessed be the Lord. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the Lord. We can have that kind of hope that no matter what happens, we still have hope in Christ. But it takes us, when we live for God, to be that light and that hope and point them to Christ. 2 Timothy 2:19-21. But we cannot be this if we don't live right. I don't care how much we say that God will help you. If people do not see a life of Christ in us, it's no good. It's no effect on them. We can't help people by falling in sin with them. We have to have a standard of holiness in order to be a light, in order to be a help. We can't say we're following the Lord if we're living in sin. We can't say the Lord is ordering our steps if we're doing wrong. We must do right ourselves. We must live a pure and holy life. 2 Timothy 2:19-21. 2 Timothy 2:19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
So, in other words, we purge ourselves from these. All the sinful life, all the wrong things, we purge ourselves from that. We don't live in that. And then when we live like that, a life of holiness, we can be a vessel of honor that the Lord can use. The Lord can't use us if we don't live right ourselves. We must live right. We must live holy. We must live pure. Let's go to James 5:10-11. We've seen many examples of people who have lived a righteous life, and it has been an example for us, and we want to be an example for others to follow.
James 5:10-11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy.
So we have examples, don't we? We have Job, we have Abraham, we have Daniel, we have the three Hebrew children, we have Joseph, and we have many others as our examples in the Bible. They were examples. They went through tough times, but they lived for God, and they lived true, and they lived faithful. And we can be that example too, to go through the things that come to us. If life doesn't seem to work out just like we want, we can be encouraged in the Lord, encourage ourselves in the Lord, and be that example anyway, and we'll be a help to somebody else. Sometimes it's our children. Sometimes it's our grandchildren. Sometimes it's our neighbors and friends. You know, I had one of my sons had a friend that died just recently. She was at work, went in the restroom, didn't come out. They had to go in there, and she was gone. The sad thing about it is I knew her. And I was very fond of her, and she was fond of me. And do you know, I had to think about, what did I do? Did I do enough? I tried to shine a light, an example with her. She was very fond of me. But then I wonder, maybe I should have said something to her. Maybe I could have talked to her more about the Lord. Do you know, we want to take advantage of opportunities. We need the Lord to help us to not only just walk in this way, but reach out to those around us that maybe someone we could spare from going to hell. I don't know how she made it, but it just gave me something to think about. And you know, in my heart, I'm a missionary. In my heart, I reach out and I want to do all I can. Sometimes when we're driving alone, I'll see a homeless person. They want some money. But I want to give them maybe a dollar, not much. And I want to give them a track. A lot of times have tracks. I try to give them a track, not just money, but a track to give them something to read. And if they seem like they, like that lady in Texas, she looked like she had a real problem. You remember at the, and we gave her a tract, but I wanted her to know that we'll pray, you know, cause she was glad. It was like it was a very bad day for her. And so we have a responsibility. We know truth. We know the word of God. Let us be up and doing, shining a light wherever we can, speaking a word for Jesus wherever we can. This being an example. Today, we have these Bible examples that inspire us. Daniel, the Hebrew children, Job, they are inspirational to us. Do you know the story of our life can be an inspiration to someone else? As we walk and as we live, we're writing our own eulogy. It's our own story, and our story needs to be something for God. Not for the devil, not for she was very selfish and she wanted to have her own way and nothing suited her and all that, but for God. Let's go to Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. When you're in Hebrews, we're going to read several verses. So we'll start at 1 and 2.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report.
Go down to 13 and 14.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Now go down to 33 and 34.
Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
So we have examples. We didn't, I wouldn't, it would take a while to read all of the examples in Hebrews 11 chapter, but we have these ones that were able to conquer and live a life that was victory and something that would be an influence to generations to come. Today, generations after generations, we are influenced by the things that we read in the Word of God, where these people were able to conquer whatever adversity they were in. Today, we can have that. Each of us can have that. That could be our story. They went through this, this, and this. They had this and this problem, but they trusted God. They lived an example. I want to be like them. You want to set an example where somebody want to be like you. Somebody is influenced by the way you live, the way you carried yourself, how you love people. Now, I want us to go and look at two examples in the scriptures. One is Daniel and one is Joseph. We want to look at how the example they set of being their lives, being ordered by the Lord. In Daniel, we're going to start. You all have to bear with me a little bit. I want you to know that Daniel was taken captive. That's not really an ideal situation. He wasn't left at home and able to just have his family and everything. Just he's a captive in a foreign land, in a land where the king had no respect for God, really. His mind wasn't on God. He wasn't even familiar, I don't believe, with God Almighty. But Daniel was able to bring that, his God, to these kings. And he lived under three different kings. He was consistent. He was a man, the scripture said, had an excellent spirit. And I want us just to look at some of the examples, the effect he had on these people. I want us to see what effect Daniel had on these people. There's a lot of reading that I'm trying to keep from going through.
After the king gets interpretation.
That's it. Yeah.
That's
25. Okay.
The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Am I able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise man, the astrologers, the magician, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these."
Okay, stop just a minute. See what happened prior to this. He had a dream, but he could not even remember the dream. And he called his astrologers and all of them to interpret the dream and tell him what he dreamed and interpret it. They said, no king asked this of them. You give us the dream and we'll interpret it. And then he went in a rage and he was ready to destroy all the wise men and the astrologers and all. Well, Daniel was one of the wise men. So when he found out, he said, "Well, why is this so urgent?" And he said, "Let me know. Give me time and I will show him." So what happened is Daniel talked to the three Hebrew children, his three companions, that they would pray that God would reveal him the dream. And the Lord did. And so this is what we're taking up right here.
"As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me by any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of the heart, thy heart.
Okay, now let's drop down to verse 46. We want to see the effect this had on the king.
Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over whose province of Babylon, the chief of the government, over all the wise men of Babylon.
Yes. Now, I want you to go over to Daniel 4, because we're going to be in Daniel just a little bit, and 8. So, Nebuchadnezzar had a chance to see a person who lived true to God. And this had an influence on him. And we want to hear Daniel came and he had another dream. Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. And Daniel was brought in to interpret the dream. Verse 8.
But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told a dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, no secret trouble thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I had seen and interpretation thereof.
So let's go down now to 19.
Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream to be to him that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies.
Okay, stop just a minute. This dream was telling of something that was going to happen bad to Nebuchadnezzar, because he was a man that was proud, and God brought him down, and he had to eat grass like with the animals for 7 years. But at the end of that time, Nebuchadnezzar, on verse 36 and 37, began to look up to God of heaven, and he realized that and praised the God of heaven. But it was the effect of Daniel's life that brought him to all of this at the same time. So this is after he had been out and eat grass like an animal for 7 years. This is what he has to say. It's in the same chapter as the 36 and 37 verse.
At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase.
So you see how that God was able to use Daniel as an example to this king? The same His son, God was able to show him, and they brought him in. They said he had God in him and an excellent spirit. I'm trying to go through this so it won't take so much time. And then also Darius. There was the King Darius. The men were jealous of him, Daniel, for being lifted up as he had been. And so they tried to take him down. He ended up having to go through the lion's den. I'm just going through a lot. I'm sorry. But at the end, that king said to him, let's go to chapter 6, 19 to 25. Let's read that and we'll.
Chapter 6, verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not heard me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king, exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God.
We're going to stop right there. You see how that he lived true to God. God ordered his life and God blessed him and he was faithful. We can be there too. God can help us to be faithful unto the end. So I want to encourage each one of us to let the Lord order our steps. And when we do, we're going to have a successful Christian walk with God. Pray for me.